Going back to the topic of judging favorably, this comes up a lot, and usually we don't even know where it's coming up. There's a story we tell every year about the couple who he's going to sleep, and you know the story, right, Benjamin? No. She turns on the music. So she's staying up late to prepare for some test. He's gone to sleep. She turns on loud music as she's preparing for the test. And he walks out of the room. He's like, huh? And she's all apologetic. I'm so sorry you were sleeping. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't realize the music would bother you. I'm sorry. The door was wide open. She had the player right near the door. He doesn't know how to understand that, but okay. Goes back to bed. She lowers the music. I'm really, really sorry. Fine. 3 weeks later, again, she has a big test. She has to stay up studying. She tells him, go to sleep. I got so much work to do. Fine. She's preparing for the test, and she's on the phone talking to her friend. She walks into the room, talking loudly, and again, she's talking. He's sleeping. He's up again. She looks at him. Oh, did I wake you? I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry. Oh, wow. Boy, I can't believe I did that. Go back to sleep. She sneaks out of the room. He's like, what's going on here? I don't understand. Where did she come from? Okay. Another 3 weeks pass. Another big test. Again, she says, go to sleep. I'm going to prepare for my test. He hits the sack. He's sleeping. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. She's sitting there, and again she turns on the music. Again the door is wide open right near the stereo, right near the speakers. Again he wakes up. She looks at him. He looks at her. She quickly turns down the volume. And he says, you know, I don't understand. She says, what do you mean? He says, you know, I was sleeping. This is the third time. I don't get it. She's all offended. He looks at her and he says, why are you offended? I don't understand. You woke me. Nothing. Silence. He looks at her and says, but I don't understand. Don't you understand? You woke me here? She looks at him and says, I'm sorry. He says, really, that's some way to say you're sorry. I don't understand. You know, once, twice, three times. Do I ever wake you in the middle of the night? Do I pour a cup of water on your head and I say, gee, I'm so sorry you were sleeping, honey. I'm so sorry. Baby, what's with you? She's hurt. He said, looks at her. He says, what are you hurt? You wake me. You're hurt. Silence. Okay, he goes back, can't fall asleep too well. Trying to fall asleep, he's upset, she's upset. What's really going on behind the lines of this story? And if we had more time, we'd go into how, really for a period, they couldn't even figure out between the two of them where their difference came from. She came from a house where they had three rooms in the house, tiny house, 15 kids. And because they had a small house, 15 kids, three rooms, so it was common that, you know, the 3-year-old wouldn't sleep, and the 5-year-old wouldn't sleep, and the 7-year-old wouldn't sleep, and the house didn't stop at 6 o'clock at night because the 3-year-old wouldn't sleep with the 5-year-old, or the 6-year-old, or the 7-year-old. Everyone kept working. They turned on music, they spoke on the phone, and everyone got used to sleeping with noise. He came from a house where he was an only child in a mansion, 15 rooms. When he went to sleep, they turned off all the phones next to his room. Everything had to be silent next to where he slept. So in his mind, the most inhumane thing you could do is walk into a room where someone's sleeping, talking on the phone. Never happened in his house. He never heard of such a thing. In her mind, why do you wake up because I'm talking on the phone in the room you're sleeping? I never saw that before. When they say it to one another, they don't understand one another so quickly. With time, as they're discussing it, suddenly she reminds him that while they were dating, they'd be talking into the night, and he'd ask her, aren't you waking your sisters that are in the room with you? And she'd say, no, why would they wake up from this? And he'd say, you're talking on the phone, you're not even whispering, they're all sleeping next to you. And she'd say, yeah, it doesn't bother them. And he never understood it. Now, there are many differences between people. There are even more differences between a man and a woman. Take a man and a woman who grew up in two totally different houses. You'll find many differences like that. And we can't always find the root of it. I'm playing it out before you, you know, in 10 minutes you guys have the story and the resolution. In real life, it takes much longer. It can take years till we understand the differences between us. One of the keys to making marriage work in spite of our differences is this point, judging the other side favorably. Understanding that they don't mean harm. Nothing's being done with malicious intent. She did not mean to wake him. In his mind, it's the equivalent of pouring a cup of water on his head and saying, I didn't mean to wake you. But in her mind, it isn't. She did it the way, that's the way she grew up. That's what's normal for her. Very often a nice, gentle American will marry a spicy Moroccan. And I always tell them, be prepared. You're going to walk into the house one day and she'll have just washed the floor. And she's going to start yelling. What's wrong with you? I don't believe you. I don't know. I spend my life cleaning for you. I do whatever I can. You stumble on my floor. Where did you go? And she's going off and off and off and off and off. And I'm like, I'm minimizing it. And she's red in the face. And she's like going on and on and on. And you know how hard I work. I wake up early in the morning to wash the floor. I wash the floor after lunch. I wash the floor after supper. I wash the floor before we go to sleep. You have to trample all over the floor. I don't believe you. Have you no feelings? Where do you come from? In Moroccan homes, how did I know? Guys.
How can you say this when I'm not allowed to? This is outright blatant racism. Everybody in Israel is going with this.
It's true.
If you say she farts up or shits up, it's like, oh my God, you're a horrible person.
David, I've been here 14 years.
How is this okay?
It's true.
One second. Wait. So you have to understand, in Moroccan culture, wait. In Moccan culture,
no,
the
I
woman,
get it, it's
wait,
true. But
wait.
The things I say about Schwarzes are true too, and they don't let me say Schwarz.
In Moroccan culture,
defend it. I'm asking a different question.
Don't defend it,
it's true. What I say about Schwarzes is also true. What I say about Schwarzes is also true. And I'm not allowed to say those words. And suddenly there's this swab of humanity in our country. It's totally okay to be horrifically racist again.
Yeah, but that's two terms of derogatory.
Right, right. I don't think any Moroccan woman would
call you.
Right, they don't.
You'd be the first one to tell that story, I think.
Right, Moroccan women don't see this badly. A black person doesn't want to be called a Schweizer. A non-Jewish woman doesn't want to be called a Shiksa.
That's not
a Moroccan
true.
Woman.
There's a girl on Facebook who calls herself the Shiksa cook or something like this.
Okay.
I know Schwarzes who are proud Schwarzes.
Okay. But at any rate, this is like a common thing that happens. And if you grew up with this, that's the norm. And
this is not what I'm asking.
I understand, but I'm getting back to the point at hand. I'm not dealing with that right now.
That's true. 11 countries like it. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Huh?
11 countries, this is what happened. Like, mother is like, you go. The mother is cleaning the home. She's turning the yell at you, at father. It doesn't matter who's coming to the home. Yes, because, you know, that's true.
There are cultures where it's common that the woman yells, and not only yells. Yells like you've never heard yelling before. And then,
it's true. I'm talking about a case where there's no bad intentions. What if there are bad intentions? Let's say the woman turns on the radio, wakes up the husband, and it's not because she doesn't have bad intentions. It's because
she wants to wake him up. Why does she want to wake him up?
Because you shouldn't be sleeping when she's not.
Something like that. So it's not. We're not talking about murder. Okay.
So that's a totally different class. If you want, in a nutshell, but I don't know if you'll understand me. The attitude has to be, meaning, you're coming out of an attitude of equilibrium. She was sitting there. Everything was fantastic in her world. Her life was beautiful and pretty and calm. And she said, the only thing I'm missing in my life is waking him. So I'm going to turn on that radio, and he's going to wake up, and he's going to be here with me, because I want him here now. That's the way you're viewing it. Whereas I think the starting point has to be different. The difference between the first few years of marriage and the later years of marriage are that the first few years, you're still looking at it like that. The later years, you come to an appreciation, she's a good person. She would never do this just to hurt me. Now, she had no reason for turning on the radio, and she knew it would wake me. So if she wanted me to be woken now, then obviously she needs it so badly that she did it. Now, that takes a development, a certain maturity in the relationship, that you got to get there. You have to get there in order for marriage to work. You have to get to the point where you're not second-guessing her and asking, is she a vile person? Is she a vicious person? Is she a who knows what? Or in which case it's not going to work. One of the rules in marriage, by the way, is that if you're going to gauge any marriage, whether it's worth remaining in the marriage, it's not. There's no marriage in the world that you could be within the marriage engaging, should I or shouldn't I stay in, and decide I should stay in. No such thing. Because every day there are a limitless number of things that will get on your nerves. And if you're keeping a scorecard, then you're going to automatically have a long list at the end of any single day in any marriage why it does not make sense to continue this marriage. The only way marriage can work is if you walk into it with a dedication. I will make this work. I want this to work. If you're dedicated to making it work, and you're not keeping a scorecard, then you swallow things and you let things slide. And with time, you learn one another and you try to be flexible towards one another more and more. Now, the more you see and know her and the more the relationship develops, the more you can realistically come to saying of, well, if she did this, then obviously she needs this. You know, one wife tells her husband, you're not leaving now. And he says, what do you mean? It's my mother's birthday. And the wife says, no, I want you here now. Now, the first year of marriage, the husband could look at her and say, I don't get you. What's wrong with you? If it was your mother's birthday, I'd tell you to go. Later on, the conversation should be more like, you want me to stay, I'll stay. The most important thing here is, if that's what you want, I'll do it. I think it's important to my mother. I think it'll make her happy. I think it's important to go. But if you feel it's more important, I say, I'm going to stay, no problem. And to mean it, not just say. But that takes a certain confidence in the person and in the relationship. Initially, you have to train yourself to think that way. But you have to get there. You have to get there. Meaning, so you're saying, you know, she just turned it on to wake me. And I'm saying, no. Obviously, the loneliness or the feeling of abandonment or the feeling of rejection or whatever it was she was sensing at those times overpowered her decision to let you sleep and made her wake you. So this is a clear look.
If I understand correctly, it's not that she did it to hurt you, but she did it because of a need that she had.
100%.
And her need was not to hurt you. Her need was something else.
100%.
Happened to hurt you.
Right? And that need overpowered. And I think it's a true way of looking at it. I don't think it's semantics. I had a guy who told me he has to get divorced from his wife. Why? Because at 2 o'clock in the morning, she was ranting and raving at the top of her lungs so that the next morning the neighbors came and tried to comfort him. He said, I really feel bad for you. So I felt like killing those neighbors. And I don't feel like killing people often. But, you know, you can ruin a marriage by telling a person something like that. When you come and you tell a person, I feel bad for you, what you're telling him is, you got stuck. Oh boy. Oh boy. What are you doing to the guy? What are you doing? You're strengthening his feeling already that he got stuck in the marriage. And the truth is, if she was yelling at 2 o'clock in the morning, obviously he wasn't giving her something she needed. Now, maybe she's whatever her case was. You know, what? Whatever her case was. I mean, in that specific case, I can't judge. But I'm saying in general, the attitude is, if she's keeping you up at 2 in the morning, obviously that's what she needs. She's human too. But I'm not understanding her. I'm not understanding what her needs are. To me, it makes no sense why she would need me. Okay, so I'm not understanding her. Okay, guys, we went way over time.